Well, if you have a Bible with you today, I'm going to encourage you to go ahead and open it up to the book of John. Get all my notes right here. If you are unfamiliar with the book of John, maybe you're kind of going, I don't remember exactly where that is. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. So if you can find the New Testament, John's the fourth book or the fourth biography about the account of Jesus's life. And if you don't have a Bible, there's probably one directly in the pew in front of you. Have you guys thought about this, that we are like 2 weeks and 2 days away from Christmas? Is it not crazy that we are only 2 weeks away from Christmas? I mean, it's kind of hard to believe it. But one thing I do know, even though it's a little hard to believe that Christmas is only 2 weeks away, I do know this one thing. I'm going to stay as far away from stores as humanly possible over the course of the next 2 weeks, right? Because it gets a little crazy out there, doesn't it? It gets a little crazy during the season. But while I joke about that, I also recognize that there's something very special about this time of year, isn't there? Doesn't Christmas feel different than the other times of year? I mean, it's almost like this. It's almost as if there's something in the air about Christmas. It's almost like you can smell it. You ever notice how, like, fall, you can, like, smell fall? There's a different smell in the air. I feel like there's something about Christmas that's similar. And this is how I know it's true, because sometimes throughout life, we go through transitions. Maybe we move, we transition. Maybe you go from school, like high school to college, things of the sorts. And things are just kind of different. Things get really chaotic. And we say things like this. You know what? This just doesn't feel like Christmas this year. So-and-so is not here. Or I'm not living in that town anymore. Something just feels different. And we say that because there's something about Christmas. There's something special. There's something different about this season. I mean, when was the last time you heard someone go, you know, it just didn't feel like Columbus Day this year. It just, I don't know what it was, you know. We don't say that, but we do say that about Christmas. And I wonder this, if part of the reason that Christmas has a feel to it is because of the anticipation that comes along with it. How many of you guys, when you were kids, or maybe you currently do it, made those chains? They look like handcuff chains, and they're made out of paper. Do you guys remember those? And then you made them, right? And then every day you were supposed to rip like a link off. And then you were told, I remember this as a kid, I was told, make this and then every day rip one off. And when you get to the last one, it'll be Christmas. So I ripped them all off thinking that Christmas would like hurry up and get here. But it didn't work that way. And I was like, you lied to me. Jesus is going to have words with you. No. Right? We anticipate Christmas. I think that one of the things that makes Christmas so exciting, why we get so excited, why we anticipate it so much, is because of the traditions that go along with Christmas. How many of you guys have some like family traditions, some things that you do on Christmas that you look forward to? What are some of those things? Just shout them out. Ping pong turn. I know whose house I'm going to. I heard dinner, ping pong tournament. What else? What? Opening gifts? Yeah, presents. I can't believe like every kid wasn't like, presents. Right? We all have our traditions. These things that we get excited for during the holiday season. Well, I thought it might be fun to look at some of those traditions over the next few weeks and to unpack them a little bit and to look at some of them and examine a side of them that we don't normally think about when we maybe celebrate Christmas. Because while our traditions are fun, I think our traditions actually go a little deeper than just this is what our family does. I think that our holiday traditions might actually be an expression of our soul. So today we're going to kind of kick this off with one of the things that I think is one of the coolest parts of our holiday traditions, because I love going around and look at them, and that is decorations. How many of you guys like How many of you guys decorate your homes? Put up a tree, put up stockings, you put up lights, right? We even did that here at the church the other week, right? There's something about Christmas, like we love to go and we love to decorate our homes. And some people take this pretty serious. Check out this guy from California. Can you imagine being that guy's neighbor? That guy, first of all, he loves Star Wars. So that could be my house. But he loves Christmas, right? This guy is excited. He's taking it, maybe we'd even say, an extreme, right? He takes it to an extreme. But I mean, isn't that kind of what Christmas is about? Isn't Christmas kind of this expression of how excited we are, right? We go like, why would a person decorate their house to such an extent? Why do people put the reindeers out and do all this stuff? It's because they're excited. It's because there's something inside of them that they want other people to know about. The lights, the trees, the wreaths, the reindeers, the elf on the shelf, right? It's an expression of something that's going on inside of us. And I think it reveals a truth to the Christmas story. John chapter 3, Jesus is meeting with a man named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus belongs to a group which is referred to as the Pharisees. And Jesus and Nicodemus begin to have this conversation about the kingdom of God. Now, the Pharisees, they believed this, that if a person did certain things, that they could win favor with God. That faith was really this journey of trying to impress God or trying to do all the right things so they could receive rewards from God. Or rewards from God. If you do the right things, you're good. If you do the wrong things, you're toast. And in the midst of this conversation, Jesus speaks the words that are probably the most well-known words of Scripture. John chapter 3, Jesus says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, many of us, when we hear these words today, we hear them through a lens of we've probably have already heard them before. Matter of fact, there's not too many people who I would say in America who have never heard some sort of iteration of John 3:16. Even those who have no familiarity with the Bible or with church have heard something of John 3:16. But what do you think those words meant to Nicodemus who had never heard them before? Imagine being Nicodemus on this night having this conversation. Which I love that this conversation's happening at night. There's some theological implications there as well, but I always think that the best conversations happen at night. I always find that my best, like, it's like 3:00 in the morning, you're like, oh, we're still talking, this is great. Jesus and Nicodemus, they're having this conversation. You remember, he comes from this mindset of like, there's things I have to do to merit God's grace. There's things that I have to get right, otherwise God won't accept me. And in the midst of that conversation, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son." He didn't say this, that God was giving his Son on loan, and if you worked really hard, you could pay back the loan. God wasn't saying, because you did so many good things up front, God is giving his son. Jesus said that God was giving his son out of love. I would say this, or I would present to you this, that this one statement is what makes Christianity different from all other philosophies, all other ideologies, and all other religions. Maybe you've heard this line before, all paths lead to the same place, or all religions lead to the same God. Sometimes it's portrayed as the image of a mountain. I think we have one here. And there's this idea that, right, there's all these different religions of the world, and all of them are like paths up a mountain. Right? You can see all the different paths. So some will take the path of Islam. Some will take the path of Buddhism. Some will take the path of Hinduism. Some of Christianity. Some of Judaism. But ultimately, they all lead to the same place. How many of you guys have ever heard of something like that, right? Probably a lot of us, we've heard this idea. All paths ultimately lead to the same place. But here's the reality. That idea doesn't fit with the core beliefs of Christianity. You see, Christianity is not a path that leads to God. It's not a journey in which we undertake, in which at the end we hope to arrive at some sort of Elysium. But the message of Scripture is that instead of us working our way to God, God comes to us. See, if we could go back to the image. This is where this idea kind of falls apart, where instead of us working our way to God, Christianity is that God comes down to us. And he comes down to us as the man, Jesus. Right? We don't travel to God. God comes to us. And he does this out of love. Sometimes we seek signs, demonstrations of God's love. I don't want to speak for you, but I know that myself, I've done this. Where in my own life, there have been times that I've asked God, God, give me a sign. Show me something. Let me see. Let me experience something. So that way I know for sure that you're real or that you love me. Sometimes I'm even so bold as to tell them the exact sign I want. I'm sure I'm the only one who's ever done that. God, this is the sign I need you to give me. But here's the thing. God already has given us a sign. That question, God, will you give me a sign? God, will you show me your love? God, how do I know that you're real? He's already given us the answer. And the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the visible sign, God's outward expression of his love for us. Think about that. God, who it says this, that for God so loved, right? God so loved. He was so filled with love for his creation, for this world, for you and for me, that he gave his son. This internal feeling, this internal joy, this internal love became a physical manifestation. If you are here today, let me say this to you. And if this is the only thing that you take away, that's fine. But this is what I want you to hear. God loves you. And the evidence, the sign, the proof of that love is Jesus. Matter of fact, I will go so far as to even say this. That Jesus, God in the flesh, only makes sense as an expression of God's love. Right? If God is, right, we get these ideas of what God is like. If God is vindictive, then Jesus doesn't make sense. If God is uncaring, then Jesus doesn't make sense. If God doesn't want to be involved in his creation, then again, Jesus doesn't make sense. You know, I'm a little bit of a cynical person by nature. I'll fully own it. My wife could. She won't because she's nice, but she could testify to it. And I know that there's seasons in life where I begin to feel far from God. There's seasons in life where I begin to wonder, God, do you really care about me? God, do you really have a plan for me? God, are you really even involved in my life? You know, and sometimes those thoughts can start going to some pretty dark places. But every time I'm there, every time I begin to say things and I catch myself going, you know what, God doesn't care. You know, maybe God isn't loving. And I know I'm the only one who's ever said these things. Every time those words begin to come out of my mouth, I'm faced with the reality that Jesus doesn't make sense. If God is unloving, then why did he enter into creation? If God doesn't care, then why did he come to be with us? If God doesn't have a plan, then why did he enter into creation? Why would he go to the cross? And why would he die? Unless God is love. Which is interesting enough, 1 John, that's exactly how he describes God. That God is love. Jesus is the manifestation of God's love in this world. You know, I think about the Christmas time. And I believe that Christmas is the best time of the year. And it's not just because we get gifts, and those are fun. And it's not because we get time off from school and from work, even though that's fun. And it's not even because I have an excuse to eat way too many cookies, even though that might be one of my favorite parts about Christmas. Why I think Christmas is the best time of the year is because it's when we see love demonstrated the most. Right? I mean, think about it. During this time of year, people tend to be more generous. People tend to be more inviting, more willing to show hospitality. People offer more greetings. I mean, think about when you go to the store. People maybe say like Merry Christmas or season's greetings or however they phrase it. Right? There's just something about the Christmas season where it seems like love is more freely given. And the reason why I believe that's so is because the heart of the Christmas story is when love was freely given. God gave his love in the person of Jesus Christ. So when we celebrate, when we decorate, when we do all those things that we have this joy in our hearts and we go like, man, I want everyone to know how happy I am this time of season. I'm going to put up the lights. I'm going to put out the reindeer. And I'm going to, right? I'm going to put out the nativity sets. We do that because we were created in God's image. We were created to show this love and this joy that's within us, just as the Father did by giving us the Son. So my prayer for you today is that as you celebrate this season, that the love and the joy that you hold in your heart will be expressed to others, just as the Father expressed his love through Jesus. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of Jesus. God, you know, Christmas can be kind of a hectic season at times. It can be busy. But Lord, we thank you that when we take that moment to be still, when we take that moment to maybe get away from the commercialism, God, we can see what Christmas is really about. And that's it's about love. It's about your love demonstrated through the person of Jesus Christ. That God, that you would choose to enter into creation, to be born as a man, to save us. So Lord, we give you thanks today for that. We celebrate that that's what Christmas is all about. And God, as we go through this season, I pray that you would give us glimpses of that. That every day you would show us how that love is being expressed. And Lord, that we would be able to point that back towards you. And Lord, that ultimately, through everything, Jesus, that your name, that your love, that the joy that is found in you would be made known evident in this community and in our lives. Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, we are going to receive our offering this morning, so I invite our deacons to come forward. When you came in this morning, you probably got a bulletin, so I'm going to invite you to go ahead and pull that out. Yeah. And if you're a guest with us today, please, by all means, do not feel obligated to give. This is something that we do who are members of the church. So if you have a bulletin, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and open it up to the last page where it says announcements. And just one thing or a couple things I want to draw your attention to. First and foremost, the Christmas Eve practice, or excuse me, the children's Christmas performance practice is scheduled for next week on the 16th. So if you have a child, second through eighth grade, who's participating in that, you want to make sure that you're here next Sunday at 11 o'clock. And then that program will be on the 23rd. So that's 2 weeks from today. And then on the 23rd, we'll also be receiving our White Christmas offering. And that is going to go directly to Meadowview School so that way they can provide winter clothing for children. So 100% of that is going that way. You can make the checks out actually directly to Meadowview, and then we'll just give them right to them. If you do make a check out to Trinity, we'll just write them a check from Trinity. Also, too, just a quick reminder that we do have a Christmas Eve service on Monday the 24th. Interesting enough, Christmas Eve falls on the 24th this year. So it's crazy, I know. So that service will be at 5 p.m. And what we're really doing is, we talked about this a little bit last week, so we know this, that during the holiday seasons, people are most receptive to responding to an invitation with a yes if invited. So what we did is we created up some invitation cards, and when you walk outside the worship center right there in the foyer area, there's the sign-up table, there are some invitation cards. And we're encouraging everyone who belongs to Trinity Church to grab some invitation cards, invite people, neighbors, friends, family members, schoolmates, work coworkers, whatever it is, invite someone to come to church on Christmas Eve and to hear the gospel, to hear the truth of what Christmas is all about. So please grab a few of those. And then also, too, lastly, Angel Tree gifts, those were due back today. So if you have the ability, if maybe if you forgot yours, please, if you could, get it back, as those are going to be picked up by Megan this week and then sent out and start delivering for children. So with that, please, if you would, stand with me this morning. Just a quick reminder that we do have lots of tasty treats downstairs, so please feel free, head down after service. When you pick up kids and things of the sorts, grab some snacks, be a friend, connect with an old one. Well, my friends, as we leave today, we carry with us the greatest news that the world has ever heard. And that is this: we live in a world where a resurrection has happened. The tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and my friends, that changes everything. So let us go and let us share this grace. Let us share this good news with all those that we encounter. Grace be with you.